When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Episode 5, Jocelyn Forever, is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps with our Idol recap coverage. My name is Grace, but of course, I'm not alone. I say Ariel Forever. Ariel, how you doing?
Ariel Forever sounds so sweet, but I like to think that I am not as egomaniacal as some of the people on this show, but boy, am I glad that it's over. Jocelyn Forever, I say Jocelyn never again.
Definitely not the Idol Forever. In fact, they realized that many weeks ago, I think, when they cut one episode from this TV show. So, yeah, so it's over. That's it. Big finale. I saw many articles that I think HBO and Sam Levinson paid for, where they were like, Sam Levinson and Lily Rose Depp explained the twist ending to the show. Which I will say, I'm going to give myself half credit for last week's prediction that Jocelyn is the big bad the whole time, because I think that that ultimately turns out to be true. I think the way we get there and what I thought we were building up towards, I don't think is actually true, but I think it's pretty close that Jocelyn, these articles that are writing, they're like, can't believe we turned the cultist leader into a victim. And I'm like, I don't know that I would use the word victim, but here we are.
Here we are indeed. And, you know, and to your point about all the articles, there was this, I did go on like a little bit more of a hunt of the, because we talked about it last week a little bit, of this five episode versus six episode thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that, have you figured it out?
They seeded it. It seems like I read articles that cited other reputable articles, which sounds so stupid, but, you know, it's in some ways it's the best we can do with this kind of stuff, who were like, okay, it seems like in retrospect, they were seeding it, like even coming out of Cannes, they were like, you know, he created a 5-hour movie. Like they were talking about these things. So it seems like maybe the change was a little bit more when the show changed hands creatively and a little less you know, all of a sudden we're going to cancel a whole episode because we just want to get rid of the show. But the fact that we can even wonder that is, you know, I think it's just a sign as well.
I think that after watching this episode, I do think some people have speculated that there's one more episode that they just dropped. I don't think that's true. I think this is fully edited the way, I think that he edited it down from 6 episodes to 5 episodes and decided he can do what he wants to do and give the story and whatever reason that is. Like, I think that if it was getting such bad press, I don't think it's the worst idea either through the urging of HBO or Sam Levinson having some sense to say, you know, it doesn't have to be as long as it is. Do I need to every week read the news articles that say the show is bad? So maybe I'll just do what I could do in 6 and 5 episodes. And I think you can feel it. I think that there's a lot of stuff where I was saying to you before that, well, I thought the episode, I mean, the one thing I'll give Sam Levinson credit for, and this is maybe mostly his cinematographer, whoever's getting to do a cinematography, these shows look amazing, I will say. Yeah, Marcel Rev, yeah, Arseny Khachaturian, and Drew Daniels, they know how to film a show. Certainly if he's using the same style as Euphoria, it looks amazing. It's definitely got vibes. I just don't F with the vibes. So, you know, but I think that there's enough here where I'm like, it definitely feels like there's stuff missing connective from episode to episode. I think Xander is probably my biggest, I think you got stuff that got cut,
absolutely,
in the way this whole thing shaked out. So, but I will say, I mean, we do have to give big props, to Leia, who does just ultimately be like, yeah, no, Leia.
Yes!
Bye.
My girl Leia, who I think similarly to Xander, we lost some stuff. Like, it just felt like, and not to be clear, not that like it was confusing why her character would choose to quit. It was just more like narratively her character felt shortchanged in some of like the explanation of like her taking back her agency perhaps, or just like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, they do, I just think it's this whole storyline, which ultimately I guess Leia is very involved in at the end, of Xander and Leia and Jocelyn and what they knew and who knew what in regards to the Rob allegation and all that stuff. Just feels like that's was that piece of it, and how it coincides or intersects rather with all of those characters is, I think, like the biggest piece that makes no sense to me before we get to like the end, which also kind of makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm definitely being results oriented, and I'm like, Leia leaves, great, amazing.
No. I saw that happening, even though I was kind of like, okay, everybody's gonna be, I was like, yes, out of there, get out of this terrible show.
All right, well, we're here on the posterrecaps.com/euphoria feed. I've been dropping in the Euphoria feed each week. If there's another season of Euphoria, I'm sure that myself, Aman, you'll come on, Ariel, to chat about Euphoria. Mm-hmm. If we get a season 3, I don't know. I believe it's like signed off on. I think it's just like, when are they going to do it? I think is the question.
It seems like it's been partially, if not completely, written, and everyone's like ready to do it. But now, as with everything else that we always talk about, the writer strike is pushing everything back.
Right. I think they were already like dealing with like some of like Zendaya, I think in particular, her scheduling, but anyway, let's essentially what I'm saying is, if there's anything else that comes of this, we'll be back in this feed. The Euphoria feed is our first love here, and I don't think the idol has replaced it.
No, it's just I mean, to be completely frank, just from my personal perspective, I will only speak for myself, not in any official capacity. Yeah. It doesn't deserve its own feed, so it's lucky that it got it. It's lucky feed at all.
You're like all of the people Tedros invited to stay at Jocelyn's house. You're lucky to be here. Okay.
Why are you still here, Grace? Leave.
Yeah. All right, Jocelyn forever. So, essentially, Jocelyn is full on being like, Tedros, you're a con man, you're a fraud. And this is mostly via she's learning that Diana had, been Instagram friends with Tedros, and Tedros saw that Diana followed, was a backup dancer, and so convinced her to come. And this is for me where I put the biggest, like, for me, my theory of like Jocelyn being the big bad, which I thought they seeded. I thought it poked the biggest plot hole because this didn't make sense. But we kind of get there. Tedros just doesn't leave. He doesn't know how to say no, or doesn't know how to listen to the word leave or no. And he just stays at the house. And essentially there's a Finkelstein books this like meeting at 1 p.m. And so Jocelyn's like, everyone get ready. I'm going to have all of you be my opening act and you're all going to come on tour with me and we got to save the tour. And also while this is happening, Jocelyn's getting phone calls from Rob. And there's basically the photo is more than just a photo to gaslight Jocelyn. It's actually to make allegations that he rapes this woman and that there are multiple people at the party who will, a la the cultists, who will say that they're eyewitness accounts to this. So Rob gets like reduced screen time in his movie and he's getting cut by his agent and all of this stuff. And there is this storyline where Leah's like learning about it and Rob's calling Leah and Leah wants to like get to the bottom of it. And she wants to talk with Xander because Rob says that Xander took the photo and Xander, again, it's just confusing where he'll eventually say like, Jocelyn knows, we don't have to talk to Jocelyn. Don't you think Jocelyn would have known about this? This is not some Tedros Xander scheme. It actually is Jocelyn, which I will have to dig into because I don't know what the truth is here.
Yeah. And they don't really go out of their way to explain it.
Yeah. So all the people come, Nikki, the Fink, Haim, Destiny, they're all there. And Destiny is like hyping up to Haim, like, okay, no, but you actually do have to watch these people perform. They're all going to perform. Fink is like, no way. I just want to talk to Jocelyn. Nikki's like, kind of the same. She's like, I'm going to leave. Tedros greets them, is yelling at Nikki. But then he sits down and then everybody starts performing and these people, everybody is blown away by Chloe and Isaac and Ramsey. They love them. They think they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was so nice to meet Ramsey in this episode.
Very nice to meet Ramsey. And who is a real singer-songwriter. Yeah.
See, I'm not surprised. I'm half kidding. Like we did it. In fairness to the show, we did get glimpses and perhaps like a couple of throwaway lines I remember from Ramsey.
No, but
very
right.
much like a background.
Like Isaac has a thing with, yeah, Chloe. With Leah. Chloe is like naked that whole first episode we meet her. But then she's like with Destiny. It's very, you know, so they have story. Ramsey does not have a story until this moment. Then there, so that's happening and kind of like there's a divide. And this to me, again, would seem interesting of like Haim and Destiny being like, oh my God, like Tedros may have found these people, but Jocelyn was able to like bring the best out of them. Mm-hmm. While Nikki and Fink are like, no, she's crazy. And Tedros is also crazy, but maybe actually a genius and
maybe
found these
people.
Nikki even says, he says, but you're the C word. And she says, yeah, but I could be your C word.
I could be your C word. Grace, these words will live in my head rent free. I'm not proud of this, but I just know myself. These words will live rent free.
Well, that's not fair because I say that to you every. You're like, you're a C. And I say, but I could be your C word on Pusher Recaps Theater.
This is what we all, that's how we end every single Pusher Recaps Theater.
You say, you're a C word. And I say, yeah, but I'm your C word. Bye. And we hang up the call.
Bizarre because again we ultimately don't know, like, is she gaslighting him in this moment? Well, are they just trying to get in with him actually? It doesn't
makes no sense.
Okay,
because then they're impressed right? But then they kick Tedros out because Jocelyn's like, pay him as much money. He offers $500,000. He refuses it and turns it down. So Haim goes, plan B, and we all are like, great, a murder. It's like, no, a spin job.
Destiny's gonna get her way. We just wanted to kill him. Let's do the Destiny plan.
Nope. It's a hit in a newspaper. And so they put out all the stuff about him being a pimp and whatever. And like, he, you know, he's being investigated by the IRS. And then like Jocelyn, so the tour is a go. And there's some wild stuff we'll get into with Fink, Finkelstein, when like at the end of that thing. Cause it's like, wild. All the stuff that they wrote people to say is just wild. And if that was just the whole point of the show is to get like some of these really famous people to say some of these lines, maybe I'm okay with the show. But then the next day or at the tour, 6 months later or whatever, like Haim and Destiny and Nikki are like, isn't it so great that we screwed over Tedros's life? And they're like, yeah, and they cheers. So what the hell was up with Nikki like, but you're the genius. What happened? It's whatever.
Bizarre.
It's this is
bizarre.
Where I feel like an episode is missing. So Tedros is then invited to the concert and he shows up and he goes to her dressing room and he actually is on the list. He's actually invited in.
This was shocking. The fact that he was even on the list and was able to get a guest pass.
And Destiny is there. It's like, if you mess with Jocelyn, I'm going to kill you. Which that was great. Then Jocelyn is like, yeah, And it seems like she was lying about her mother's abusive actions, which we talked about this last week, that I kind of thought that the Xander torture stuff when he says, like, you're worse than your mom. Yeah. This might be it because, and they kind of explain this where, like, there's a new hairbrush. And so the idea is, like, if this is the hairbrush that she abused her daughter with, then it would be old and you wouldn't be able to get a new one or whatever. And she, like, kind of smiles and whatever.
She's like, I'm the devil.
So then Jocelyn goes out on stage. This was filmed at a weekend of the weekend concert.
Yeah, this was cool to read about.
Yeah. And then she brings him out and she's like, it's the love of my life. And she kisses him and then she goes, okay, now go stand over in the corner and like just sit there like a little puppy. And that's the end. And all of her agents are like, what? No. And that's the end of the show. Yeah.
I have so many questions. I think, okay. Like I want to go back to some specific things, but I think overall at the end of the day, especially in a finale, you want to understand why characters are acting the way they are, or you at least need, or if not that, you at minimum need to understand where characters' true allegiances lie and what they're after. And this is all over the place. Like the Nikki Tedros conversation that we talked about, where she's like, I could be your C word. And then he's like, and it seems like, okay, maybe she's gaslighting, maybe she's not. And then they set him up. They set Tedros up with the article. They go to I can't remember now the name of the Vanity Fair writer, but the Vanity Fair writer who I guess they pay off. They didn't really make it clear what that was. Was that just like a tip? Because I read like conflicting theories on that. But regardless, you cut to the end and they're like, you know, dancing on Tedros's grave, basically, right? Because they've at least assassinated his character, if not him outright. And I guess the show is trying to again show like the ugly side of Hollywood and be like, look at all these people taking pleasure at the demise of this person who arguably deserved it. But then, like, even those two things don't make sense. And then for them to be on a different page than Jocelyn, I don't quite understand or frankly care, you know, no disrespect to all the people who made the show and worked hard to make it, what their motivations are and why she's doing this, because ultimately it just feels on the Jocelyn side a little empty, because there needed to be a little bit more as to explanation or at least emotional work shown to me personally as to why she would ultimately choose to do this. It just kind of seemed to come out of nowhere. And if the theory is she was like planning this all along, then like the confusion again with the storyline that I cited of the Rob thing and her not knowing and then crying when she found out about it, which means that she didn't know about it. I'm doing all these gymnastics and I feel like for what?
Yeah, I'm the same. I feel like there's like stuff in here that could be interesting and yet it's all a little too complicated, and it, you know, not that I need more of the show, but it definitely feels rushed and then poorly explained. Because so I want the inside the episode thing is essentially they talk about how Jocelyn is strategic and essentially that she's always looking for motivation for where she's going to find her next thing. And so I don't think this is like Jocelyn planned to be with Tedros. I think that she runs into Tedros and almost immediately from the moment that she meets Tedros, she is thinking about how this can be something that she could try to cultivate into inspiration to make music. And so if I look at it from that lens, the stuff with all the executives being at the sort of sing-along thing, right? Being there. There's this moment where like Nikki is talking with Tedros and the part that's like not clear is that they're like, I don't know. I think it would have made a lot more sense for like actually the Nikki conversation. I think you just need to remove it in the way that it eventually got edited, because I think what it's trying to say, like, I do think Sam Levinson thinks he's being really empowering to young women. I talked about this last week, that I think he feels like he's being a voice for these young women who actually know what's best. And even if she comes out of it a little bit, like she's using him. Right.
Yeah.
But I also think there's this image that like, she's always been able to figure out how to do this. I mean, that doesn't totally align with like her mother dying. I think there could have been a lot more, but I guess the idea like that she was being abused by her mother was like leading to a lot of her and that she's either that wasn't true, but she was manipulating it in a way to make it seem like it was true for inspiration for her art.
Mm.
Like the Nikki stuff doesn't really work for me in that sense, because you get this idea that like, oh, it's actually Tedros who's a genius, who he kind of is, and that he is the one who finds all of these people.
Yeah,
and
I maybe wish talent.
Yeah, and I maybe wish there was a little bit more, like if the idea is supposed to be that like she will just use anybody, and like we think that the thing is going to be sort of an indictment on music industry, because that's like what episode one feels like, right? Of like she's just lost her mom and they're making her do all this stuff and trying to like basically figure out how do we get out of this situation and make money out of it. And by the end of it, you're supposed to, I think, kind of assume like, oh, she's actually kind of played them all along. She's been actually the one.
She was Agatha all along.
Yes. And she has been, she's the one who can keep figuring out like how to make money, how to make music that, and, I don't know, like, yeah. And put herself in a situation that ultimately results in music. They seem to really like the music that she produces, right? They say her single has been number one for however many weeks when she's at the concert, but it's like, it's just a little bit, it's just too messy in a way that doesn't work. Like, I feel like, yeah, maybe if like in the real world, like, and I know we're dealing with like cults and whatever, but like in the real world, yeah, sometimes it could be just messy, but you're making a TV show. I feel like you got to clean it up.
You absolutely have to clean it up. There was a lot of clean, those women, and actually I see it now.
Yeah, why did that happen?
It makes no sense. The women who were cleaning in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then God bless them, first of all, for all the disgusting messes that they have to clean over the years. And I'm glad they had like, I believe it was the show, they had like a little moment in one episode where they were like talking to each other. But when they come in to like clean and they don't let them in, they're like the extra storyline, or like the pieces that were missing that they were trying to clean up and find. And they're like, no, 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 you have to get out of here. We don't have time for this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I agree all about the Jocelyn stuff, because it's almost like the show is trying to say that she's somewhat like sociopathic, right? Like she's treating it like a game, right? She's like, oh, I think you're exactly right. Like she met Tedros and then she was kind of like, oh, this is obviously like a scam, but let me see where this goes. Like I need some quote unquote life experience to like inspire me, right? And that part of it is interesting on paper,
because the thing where she's lost her mom, which is kind of her previous inspiration, like
is
isn't
no
giving
longer cutting it.
Yes.
So and that part is like fascinating to me again, like on paper, but like I didn't need her like, I understand they don't want to like give away the game, right? Or like get whatever the analogy is, give away the twist. But, and I didn't need her to like, you know, look at the camera with like an evil smile and wink and, you know, like to, as a clue that she kind of was more on top of things than we thought. But like, I need to see something from her. Show her like convincing people. Show her really good at like not manipulating people, because that maybe that's too much of a tip, but just like being able to really convince people or connect with people in a way that isn't just her like begging people to give her another chance or whatever. That would have, those kinds of things, I don't need to let, I don't mean to like Monday morning quarterback the show or imply that I could have written it any better, but like to the point of needing more to connect with her ultimate character resolution, I just, it was too far of a leap, because ultimately if I don't, I keep saying this, but if I don't understand it or feel compelled by that journey or think that it made sense, then like my ability to stay connected and frankly care starts to like quickly dissipate.
Well, the other thing too is like, it doesn't really work like on a rewatch. I say this, I was watching every week, I was watching The Last of Us. I was like, every time I'm watching an episode and then I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, that makes a previous episode so much better, to the point where I was like very excited to go back and do a rewatch for this show. I'm like, how do you explain that Leah like loves Jocelyn, like, and is seemingly like her best friend and is supportive of her, like no matter what? Like, they actually do seem to have a genuine friendship. There's the Xander and Jocelyn stuff as well that I don't think, like when we meet Xander, there just needs to be more in terms of how their relationship functions in order for, I think, the reveal. Yes, it might spoil the reveal. I think that some of us might have been able to see it coming before episode 4. But I feel like that stuff doesn't work for me in retrospect. The way that their relationship is doesn't lead me to believe, like the way Xander talks about her being worse than her mother and an absolute psychopath, like that to me never comes off before the moment he's being like tortured with a neck collar thing, right? And I feel like even subtly you have to do more of a job to lay the groundwork that Jocelyn is the big bad. Because now when we go back and rewatch, like, I mean, there's the stuff in there from episode 1 about the sensitivity coordinator and whatever, but like, I don't know, she's given such a, like, you know, I feel like they really wanted to, I think Seven Sam Levinson really wanted to sort of trick us, which I feel like this is a thing that I think often happens in season 2 of a show rather than season 1, where something that's a mystery box show, when people start to be able to put the pieces together, because we're all watching all the TV that's out there and tweeting about it and listening to podcasts. And so people start to figure stuff out, and showrunners think they need to hide the pieces that would set the groundwork for people being able to solve the mystery, because they don't want people to solve the mystery and they want it to feel like a big twist. Right. But when you don't seed it into your show, it feels really unearned and it doesn't make sense and all of that stuff. And it's a thing that I think happens more in like season 2 of a show. I think this is maybe a little bit of like, he's not that Euphoria is not a mystery box show, but him being like, well, I'm going to try something new with this new show where I want her to be, whether or not she's a villain, I don't know, but they keep calling Tedros a victim, which I feel like I really disagree with. I don't think in this specific scenario, is he a victim? Maybe. I don't know. In like the big picture of the world, is he a victim? Absolutely not.
No, it gets away, even though they assassinate his character, so to speak, in the industry or whatever.
But they do that by telling real things.
Yeah. So like that is earned, and that is, you know, regardless of how you feel about him, you cannot argue with the fact that that has cost him, right? That has cost him some piece of himself or his clout or whatever, but, or his club, I think they even say, like, he lost his club. But it's not like, that's not enough. And like, for it to be like, oh, he's a, to your point, for them to go as far as to say that he's a victim, it's just like disrespectful and just weird. And yes, he is off. The power imbalance has shifted. There is a new, as the DC universe once said in front of Black Adam, the hierarchy of power has changed. But you know, that's like a much more subtle, in some ways much more interesting, but way too subtle shift for the overall point that I think we both think they are trying to make by making this.
Yeah, and I just think that, like, he wanted us to think that Tedros is the big bad of the show, that he's a cult leader, and the, you know, and by the end of it, it looks like, okay, well, Jocelyn's going to learn that he planned it all along, and she'll get her revenge. But instead, they decide, like, no, actually, she's been smart the whole time, which I think there's a world where you could do this and it works. Like, I think that that's there's seeds of ideas that are not bad in here. And I do think he is trying to be, like, empowering to, like, he is trying to empower young women, right? To be like, you don't have to, like, she's not the victim of this seedy cult. She actually knew the whole time that he was awful and bad, and she's just using it for inspiration. But trying to flip it at the end to be like, oh no, Tedros actually isn't the big bad. There's just not enough seeded before, because he wants it to feel surprising in episode 5 or episode 6. And then that just undercuts. I'm like, well, why did I watch all the previous episodes? The story doesn't make any sense when you look back at it, you know? So
no, it really, like, doesn't.
Why is she treating Leah? And I mean, I guess she's using everybody, but how come Leah wasn't able to see it before? Why is it this scenario that she's able to see it? Because theoretically she was around when everything was happening with Jocelyn's mom, and she would have realized, like, either they're letting her mom hang around, which I guess it's her mom, so it's much harder to, like, cut those ties. Or she realizes that Jocelyn is, like, inflaming the story of her mom, right? So,
yeah, it feels, again, a little bit to your point about, like, them trying too hard to overcorrect to hide the twist.
Right.
It just ultimately feels like it's like written backwards. Like, they have this twist and they want to get to it, but they're more focused on, like, the twist itself and actually earning it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so Xander, how does Xander, the Rob thing, whose plan was this? I don't know.
It almost feels like, and I guess ultimately he did it, knowing everything we know now, it seems like ultimately he did it on Tedros's orders, but in the moment you have no idea. Like, is he working for, like, is he working for himself in some way? Is it like he's just working independently and he's not, like, team Tedros or team Jocelyn? Because as I mentioned before, like, in the moment where Jocelyn seems to find out about this Rob allegation for the first time, and they play it as, like, she's playing it a little bit too dumb that she did know, but I think ultimately the show leaves it kind of open-ended. But in that moment, she cries. She, like, sheds a tear or two, and then you're like, I read that as her, you know, either regretful if she was involved or just finding out about it for the first time and being like, wow, this person who was, like, seemingly nice, I think he cheated on her, or maybe she cheated on him, I don't remember, but like an injustice, right? And, like, this horrible thing that they did, to be clear, which is, like, for my money, again, disrespectful, irresponsible for them to have a plot line where, like, a guy gets accused of, you know, sexual harassment, I believe,
right,
it's like, rape. And then see, women, and they would argue that's not what we're saying, but I would argue you're not saying that.
So I think my interpretation is that, and I'm reading this entirely, like, I'm trying to, like, squint my eyes and see it, which is she's using Rob. So she doesn't really actually care about Rob, right? And that's, like, basically the thesis of the thing is that she'll use anybody for inspiration. So she doesn't really care about Rob. So she sleeps with Rob to make Tedros jealous. Therefore, this is also more inspiration, because she's going to make him go, like, he's going to lose it. And, you know, and then she's the victim of this abusive relationship, and that's inspiration for her. She cheats on Rob, and then this thing happens, and Xander's doing it. And when she kind of finds out about it, I don't think she cares, because it's Tedros who put it in motion. And also, if it ruins Rob's life, because they start to ask her, they're like, oh, were you, was he like this with you? And she's like, oh, like, no, like, I don't, you know, but I think that there's a world where, like, doesn't this mean could she not get an article out of this where it's like, oh my God, you were with Rob, and look, he turned out, and she's like, well,
they're
you know,
come to her for comment.
Right. And, like, she can get attention, and all of this stuff, I think, is, like, to the point of the story. I was feeling the same way when, like, he's on the phone being like, but she's lying. And we know she's lying. This like woman who was accused. I was like, oh, that sucks, because it feeds into this idea that like women lie about sexual assault all the time. But now, if my understanding of like Jocelyn is correct, is like she wants to put herself in situations where she appears to be the victim of abuse, which is really gross. But if you look at the Rob's, like, I don't think she cares what happens to Rob, because ultimately it just means she can sort of put herself in the seat in which she's another victim of abuse, right? Whether that's if it's Rob who goes and it's her ex-boyfriend who was this guy who sexually assaulted women, then that's in line with what she's been doing. And if it's Tedros gets caught and it's a lie, well, it's her wild ex-boyfriend who was faking a story. And so she's not involved, but she lets it happen. And that's the line that Leah's like, no, this is awful, I need to go. But I think that's the closest read I can get to what they're trying to say with that thing. And whether or not, when Xander's like, well, she knows, I imagine she knows, but she did not, like, the show is not telling us, I think, like, when the reveal I thought was like, oh, she was a step ahead of Tedros. I don't think that's what's happening. I think she's just willing to let Tedros be, because it creates the environment that she actually feels like she gets inspiration from, which again, you'll go back to the scenes where Isaac is like, oh, like doing bad things happening to you is inspiration for art. Like, yeah, doesn't she know? But I guess she's trying to cover up the story that, you know, when she's at dinner being, you know, telling the story about her mom, like she wants to seem like she's not actively putting herself in these situations. So she's going to lie. I don't know.
Yeah. I think after thinking about it more and hearing you talk about it, it's almost like, okay, maybe the show is trying, because I think the Leah thing for sure is supposed to be a clue. We don't get many clues from Jocelyn. She never admits anything. She never does like her evil speech. There's just like the hairbrush thing with Tedros, which is a small moment. And like, I guess charitably, I could, because either whatever the reality is, either she knew about it or she didn't. And the show kind of doesn't put any emotional weight or importance on coming down on one side or the other for her. So I guess charitably I could read her tearing up in that moment as like, oh, I have to do this in order to get my plan. And this wasn't something that I was planning, but I guess this is, I have to go with the flow. And again, that's interesting on paper of she's like, that's how far she's willing to go, to the point of she stays curious and she's treating it like a game and she's adapting very quickly. But the show didn't really pay it off in any significant way.
Yeah. Okay, I still thought Destiny was amazing in this episode. Once again,
would
just
I
great.
Would I ever steer you wrong, Grace?
Amazing. Even if it doesn't completely make sense. Right. It's fine. The line read of her being like, I haven't heard vocals like that since Prince. And I was like, get out of here. Get out of here. But it's fine. Whatever.
Stop it. Stop it.
No hate to this Isaac guy, but like, you know, the whole time this like thing's happening and they all have to be like, oh my God, this is the best art I've ever seen. I had to be like, yeah, really? Okay. I mean, it's good. I mean, Chloe's a great singer, you know?
Tremendous. All of them are tremendous singers in real life in their own right, regardless of if they are professional singers or if they were found, you know, just in their auditions or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, there was a middle ground. It didn't need to be like this quote unquote show that they put on in that living room was either a disaster or like life changing. It could have been like, wow, you were right. There's something here. We can get it to something amazing. Not like, I just fainted being in the presence of such artful gods and beings. Like, it was just crazy.
I will give some credit to Eli Roth, who plays Finkelstein, who says some of the funniest stuff in the episode. I like hate it, but he's like, so Jocelyn performs her song, and then he's like, I got to get another pair of shorts. Anyway, as a parental figure, Jocelyn, I think you're... I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, oh my goodness, guys.
As a father of daughters, like, it was really giving that. And it was really bizarre. And again, I guess you could argue they're like, you know, commenting on like the sexualization of Hollywood and fame and all that and how you have to wield it.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. That's all real. But again, it just comes off so silly and just kind of bizarre. And on a character like him, it works because he's meeting the material halfway with his performance, and he's in a way like in on the joke, you could argue. but it's no less ridiculous.
When they're all just, there's just women, and Tedros tells the women, like, sex sells, like, if you have to SAD to, like, get, we need to get, like, the tour on or whatever. And Eli being like, what do you want to drink? And he's like, water. And she's like, don't you want something cooler? He's like, it's 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Water's pretty cool. but I think he's the one who says, as, like, everybody's, like, crawling on the floor and whatever. And he's just like, what is this, a Hunter Biden party? Oh man, like, they're just trying so hard to pull, like, they did the Epstein joke a few weeks ago, like, yeah, how about
they're trying so hard to be edgy.
Oh yeah. But
shout out to Mike Dean and the other guy, the other producer, I think, who are just watching all this happen. We're like, this is crazy, this is so Hollywood. Like, they're just like,
Mike Dean playing Mike Dean and then just being like, this is pretty messed up.
Yeah. Like, almost like an audience avatar in a way, where, like, yeah, just as befuddled and amused and
just, yeah,
frankly entertained by the mess that this entire scene was, that went on for a very long time, to be clear.
Well, I was glad I saw Harry Neff again, but I will say, Dan Levy just appearing in literally one episode, being like maybe the best character in the episode and then never showing back up, was like, that's disappointing. I imagine he is a victim of, he was going to be in the first cut of this, and then when it basically got recut, he just, like, was only available for the first episode and agreed to do it, even though he wasn't going to be in the rest, which maybe is a smart choice from him, but I could have used some Dan Levy on my TV during this.
Always, especially when they're talking about, you know, such provocative things as glazed donut face. It's just, he was, you know, again, to the point of, like, the actors that we always call out, one of the actors that could really meet the material where it was and it somehow not sound as ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the idol, Ariel.
Yes. I did quickly point out justice for Diane's character, who gets, like, unceremoniously just shafted to the side. Jenny Kim from Blackpink, who's obviously an amazing dancer and an amazing performer in her own right. I'm glad, I guess, that she got to do, you know, got to be in the show and got some exposure, but it just kind of felt like both the character in real life and the character on the show just kind of got short thrifted.
Okay, when Nikki tells her, though, that, like, there's a legal issue with the song, we can't release it, and maybe you should just go, maybe write your own music, and she goes, are you telling me to be inspired by a legal battle over my thing? She goes, well, no, but I guess actually,
yeah. Incredible moment.
I'm ready for that hit song about the legal issue of not being able to release the
legal
song you did
stuff
want.
Legal is hard stuff enough.
That's good. Yeah. Immediately she's like, oh, so it was Jocelyn, eh? Which, again, I was like, okay, so everybody knew Jocelyn is bad, but then nobody really thought Jocelyn was bad at the beginning of the show?
Nobody told the audience.
Whatever. Gosh. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this was it. Able
what
to
a ride. This
I
can very confidently say this was not it.
What's HBO doing next Sunday? Let's see. What are they doing?
The Idol Redux, the extended finale, the director's cut, with even more moments of non-verbal emoting via shots and vibes.
I know that The Righteous Gemstones is currently airing, I believe, on Sunday nights. I think this was airing after The Idol. Let's see, what do they got scheduled for next Sunday night at our 9 p.m. Last Call, when a serial killer stalked queer New York. That's and then on HBO 2, they're going to play Walk the Line. So I think they're in a little bit of a pause.
They took like a late 4th of July weekend break.
Okay.
Maybe that's.
They knew I'd be out of town next weekend, so that's nice of them.
We have to end it early because Grace is leaving.
Yeah. There's HBO stuff coming. I believe a new season of True Detective is coming at some point.
Yeah, Jodie Foster, I believe.
With Jodie Foster. Winning Time is coming in August as well. So there's stuff coming down the pipe, but so interesting that they just were like, all right, one of our greatest TV shows of all time, one that's probably gonna win a million Emmys, Succession. All right, now The Idol.
The Idol. We appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
Let's stay edgy. Let's stay in the conversation.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of Righteous Gemstones, and then they're really this Last Call when a serial killer stalked queer New York. Looks like they're really putting it on many, many times. So interesting. Yeah,
they gotta fill the time. Now that David Zaslav seems to be canceling everything.
And the writer's strike. They're like, whatever our next thing is, push it, because we don't know when we're going to have scripted stuff that we've actually have made. Yeah, interesting. All right, Ariel. Well, in the meantime, what else you got going on, and where can people find you?
Wow. I will forever be confused about the show, but delighted that I got to cover it with you.
Yes.
I am covering Dark with you and our co-host DM Philly here on Pusher Recaps. Another thing that is hurtling towards its finale, but something that we genuinely all love and is always refreshing and wonderful to talk about, although I am sad it is ending on like this current show that we covered on this episode. Also covering movies, Push Recaps Theater with you, some Indiana Jones coverage coming around these parts. And I think that's mostly everything with me.
Yeah, we wrapped up our Succession coverage last week. We did episode rankings in our Battle Royale, so check those out. Also, been doing some sports docuseries. You joined me for Breakpoint over on the Offspeed podcast, but also covering the Tour de France Unchained documentary, which was really, really good. And then I was on Nothing But Netflix this week chatting about Muscles and Mayhem, the unofficial American Gladiator story, which I'm not sure why I was unofficial, but alas. And then I had the Pride Has Spoken. I almost said the Rob Has Spoken, which does happen on Rob as a podcast a lot, but the Pride Has Spoken. And we had a great interview wrapping up the series with Todd Herzog from Survivor China. It was a really, really good conversation. I would encourage everybody to go listen to it and buy a Pride Has Spoken t-shirt. I'm on Twitter at High From Grace. Anything else I'm doing, you can find me there. That's it for our Idol coverage. I'm sure we'll be back in your HBO feeds at some point with more HBO shows. But until then, bye-bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.